I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. On today's show, I'll speak with Sean Prokopek, Chief Executive Officer of Anthesis, a nonprofit dedicated to empowering individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, providing job readiness training. Their learning lab teaches practical skills in kitchen safety, food handling, retail, and manufacturing. Anthesis works with employers to craft the ideal job for their participants. As a nonprofit, we learn how they fundraise. One way is with their thrift store, which is located in Montclair. Their thrift store is twofold. It offers additional work experience and raises funds. Another fundraising effort is their Brewability Beer Festival in Chino on April 13th. Here's my conversation with Sean Prokopek, Chief Executive Officer of Anthesis. Welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Lillian. Thanks for having me.
So I love the tagline in your email or your motto. It says, empowering adults with disabilities to blossom. So I think that says a lot, but I want to learn about Anthesis and I want to talk about the many different programs and projects that you have in place. But first, kind of give me an overview or the mission of what Anthesis is.
Sure. So Anthesis is based in Ontario. We serve West San Gabriel Valley of LA County all the way out to Alta Loma, up to Rialto, down to East Vail, Harupa Valley. And our mission is to support independent and inclusive lives for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities through employment and community integration. So what that means is we work with an average of about 325 adults who have disabilities such as autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, or limited intellectual functioning who, you know, want to live a life just like you and I do, out in the community, engaged, participating in their local community, volunteering, and we also have a significant amount of adults working in about 80 different businesses throughout the Inland Empire and San Gabriel Valley.
Okay, so this is really cool. Employment for those with special needs is my jam. I love hearing about employment. So let's talk about the different processes you have for employment for those that have, because you know, so many times when students are in special ed and they age out at 22, there just aren't enough things for them to do, and they still can contribute and they still want to be out of the house. They don't want to be home with mom and dad. So I love that this has continuing legs for them. So tell me about the employment process, the services that you offer, and maybe getting them ready for employment.
Sure. So we partner with Inland Regional Center and also San Gabriel Pomona Regional Center, along with Department of Rehabilitation offices in LA County, San Bernardino, Riverside, and Orange County. So when a young adult finishes school and they are ready for the next phase of their life, because like you just said, school takes care of them up until they're 22, making sure they have their education and all the, you know, certificates and everything they need to do to graduate. And then once they become 22, they're free and they need to figure out the next phase of their life. So we accept referrals from anyone who is already receiving services from Inland Regional, San Gabriel Pomona, or from DOR. And they come to us, we review their referral, and then we have an intake with them, their support system, and we learn about what they want to do. Why do they want to work? What kind of field they want to be in? And then if we accept them into the program and feel they're ready to work and they accept us as the agency to help them, then they start down a path with a job developer. And we have a really individualized, person-centered approach. We don't just put people in jobs. We want to hear where they want to work, what their goals are. Sometimes we're even taking people out to various industries like a restaurant, a retail store, so they can watch what employees do and decide what they want to do if they've really never thought about it. And then we provide them with job preparation, job readiness, interview skills, resume building, helping them apply for a job, mock interviews, how to socialize and communicate. You know, because people with autism a lot of times have a difficult time making eye contact and have some communication you know, situations that are different than others. And so we really work with them and make sure that we're practicing how to interview so that when they get to the interview, they're more confident in interviewing. And then once they're hired, we provide on-site job coaching. We have a job coach who's there training with them while they train. So the job coach understands the job responsibilities and then works with them each day on the job to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do while they learn the job. Because many of them, it takes longer to learn the job and they need more repetition to really learn a task. And so we're there to support them so that the employer doesn't need to be, which, you know, then encourages the employer to hire someone with disabilities because they've got that support system built in. And then we stay there and be their coach until they build some natural supports, get to know their coworkers, their manager, their supervisors. And once they start feeling more confident in their ability to ask for help, then we start titrating down our job coaching hours so they are more independently working, just like you and I would do.
Nice. So when you think about that, and a parent is working with their adult child to get them ready for their next journey, steps along the way, how long does the process take? Can it take as long as it needs to take before you get them employment? Or are they kind of pushed through this and they have to do it in a short amount of time? Or is it just based on each individual?
It really is individually based. Now, there are time, you know, constraints because we receive the referral, then as quickly as the family can make it in for an intake, that sometimes can take, you know, time depending on family schedule. And then we do have to wait for approvals from Department of Rehabilitation and sometimes from the regional center.
Okay.
And that's out of our control. And sometimes that can take 2 or 3 months. But while we're waiting for that, that's when we're working on the job prep.
Nice.
That's when we're trying to figure out what industry do they want to work in. We're working on those resume building, job interview skills, so that when we do get the authorization, we're, you know, out the door running and working on interviews. It's a 3 to 5 month process.
So the individual does have time to kind of get used to being there, get used to learning what they're learning before they're in the field, in essence.
Yes, there's numerous appointments with our job developers before they ever go out into the field and start interviewing. So, and obviously if someone's had another job, but we even work with veterans. So say a veteran comes back from being deployed and now he's no longer in the military, he or she just may need help re-entering the workforce.
Sure.
So they may not need as much job prep as, say, someone else does. So it's a very individualized approach, just depending on each person's needs.
And as you talk about either autism or cerebral palsy or Down syndrome or whatever, is it all levels and of all abilities that you're working with, your clients?
Yes, because we have right now about 45 people who are placed in a minimum or above minimum wage job, as you and I would be placed, right? They're working at Marshall's or McDonald's. They're working their job and making minimum or above minimum. And then we have individuals who work in an enclave.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 3 people and they have 1 job coach. They're working doing packaging at a manufacturing place. We have some place at Western University and their job is to get there every morning before the school opens and get the campus looking beautiful before students come on and staff get on campus. So we have an enclave working at Montclair PD and their job is to keep the Montclair PD clean and neat for anyone who enters the building. So we have different levels of employment depending on a person's ability and desire of the job.
Some people
want to work in a group, in a small group. They feel more comfortable in a small group. And then others, you know, want to have an independent job, inclusive job in the community.
Got it. Let me reintroduce my guest is Shawn Prokopek. She is the Chief Executive Officer of Enthesis. Before we jump off employment, I also want to talk about maybe the other side and how either businesses can get involved with you from the employment aspect of hiring. So do you have a set of businesses, I'm sure you already do, that you work with, but maybe someone listening to this interview says, look, I have a company. I would like to hire some individuals that have been trained and ready to go to work. So how can businesses get involved with you? Or do you only have certain businesses that you work with?
No, we are always looking for businesses because, believe it or not, the pandemic was wonderful for our community. When neurotypical people weren't going to work because of the pandemic, and employers were desperate for employees, agencies like mine were filling those job requests because employers were willing to listen to this program. They were willing to listen to the possibility that adults with disabilities could fill their positions. And so during the pandemic, agencies like mine, you know, grew about 40% in job placements. So, and it's continuing to grow. We have 15 people on our wait list right now that are working with our job developers, waiting to get a position. So we are always looking for more employers. There are tax benefits if you hire people with disabilities. There are internships where if someone's never had a job, an employer's not certain that they're a good fit, but they want to give it a try, where we actually pay the salary and they gain experience for a few short months with the hopes that the employer then feels, okay, they've learned the skill, they can do this job, and I'm going to hire them permanently.
Nice.
So there are all kinds of options to really benefit small and large businesses. And so you would just reach out to us. Our phone number is 909-624-3555 and ask to speak to our Director of Employment Services. Her name is Terry Perkins, and she would gladly talk to any employer about the benefits, set up a meeting. We go out to employers all the time and talk to them about the benefits and what our program looks like.
Nice. All right. Well, very good. Okay, so now I'm going to get off employment for a little bit. But tell me about some of the activities that your organization offers that's available for the participants.
Sure. So we have community-based day programs for anyone ages 18. I think our oldest participant is 92. So we have activities for all ages.
Nice.
Most of our groups are out in the community. We provide door-to-door transportation to about 200 people a day, either through our many vans and shuttles, through a program through OmniTrans, the San Bernardino County Transportation System. And then we also have several, probably about 20 staff, who transport in their own vehicles. So we pick our participants up wherever they live, whether it's with their family, their own apartment, a group home, and we take them out into the community. So they're either in groups of three or groups of four. So they have their friends for the day along with a direct support professional, and they plan their days. So our activities are really centered around what our participants want to do. Almost all groups volunteer at least once a week, assisted living programs, nursing homes, thrift stores. We have some working at a local garden. We have a couple other groups working at a local animal service where they have horses and dogs really for kind of pet therapy. And then they're doing, you know, a group went fishing last week. Three or four groups are going to visit a museum next week in Claremont. We have an anime club. And so every week they have a class on anime and they create their own art and they go to anime conventions. So we have a lot of activities. Our senior citizens aren't as mobile. So some are still out in the community and then some are not as mobile due to their age and just not feeling comfortable being in the community, whether it's in their walk or their wheelchair. So for them, you know, it's a lot of crafts, keeping them busy. We do chair exercises. We have bikes they can ride to stay, you know, nimble and spry. But it's really about getting them out of their place of residence, which mostly for adults is group homes, and keeping them active and social with other adults.
Got it. How long has Synthesis been around, or how long is this chapter? Are they chapters, or are you guys a one and done?
We are the only Enthesis. We started in 1966 because back, you know, in those days, if you were a person with an intellectual or developmental disabilities, a lot of times you were locked up in a state institution.
Right.
There weren't a lot of options. So we had a group of about 15 parents who made the decision, this isn't what I want for my adult child. And they actually created Pomona Valley Workshop, which was a workshop where their adult children went to every day and, you know, did things like make pizza boxes or pack sponges, things like that. And then that morphed into these other programs because there are people with other disabilities or different levels of disabilities who wanted other options other than working in a workshop every day and wanted more community-based activities.
So I am familiar with Pomona Valley Workshop. So I remember hearing that name years ago. So this kind of morphed from that. Now, we were talking about who's eligible in the programs. So I'm guessing you're kind of a vendor. You're vendorized through Regional Center, and I think you said San Gabriel Regional Center, which is the state disability programs, the DDS?
Correct. Yes, we're vended through both of those. And also courtesy vendorization with East Los Angeles Regional Center.
So East Los Angeles, courtesy vendor, meaning they could also possibly use your services as well.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. So we're vended through Inland Regional Center, and then you can get courtesy vendorization through other regional centers who can then send you referrals for participants who want to be in your program.
Okay. Therefore, you're funded through the regional centers as they pay for your client to be there. Can you have outside pay as well, or must you be referred by a regional center?
Right now, it's referred by regional center, but we are in the process of creating classes that we can provide to people in the community.
Nice.
That if they wanted, they could pay a private fee and participate in our classes. So we just met on this last week brainstorming about all our different types of classes. For example, we have a culinary class where we teach from menu planning, budgeting, shopping, to creating a meal. And then we just started a technology program last week. So we're going to be teaching the basics of technology and then also helping our participants make their own TikTok channel and how to make videos. So
We're
starting to create new activities for our own participants, and we're kind of piloting them to see how well they go and what do we need to change and tweak. And then we want to be able to offer that to people in the community who don't necessarily want to be part of the regional center, but want some things to do.
Sure.
You know, maybe they just want an activity a couple hours a week or one day a week. So we're starting to work on that. We're probably a few months out, but that is something we are working on right now.
Well, I like that you're forward thinking and not just doing the same old thing, but thinking outside the box and changing with the times, right? Because anime wasn't here in 1966, but it's here now, and gaming and all the different things that a younger population would want to be involved in. So to do all this, you are a nonprofit, so you have to raise funds. I know you have an event coming up, and I want to talk about that, but I think I saw you also have a thrift store. Is that
Correct.
One of your income? And do any of your participants work there?
Yes, so we do have a thrift store in Montclair, and we just changed our hours from Monday to Friday to Monday through Saturday, which has been very exciting for us. Our board of directors has been pushing for more hours, so that happened at the beginning of the year. And we have six participants who work there, and they are supported every day with two job coaches who work with them in the thrift store. So they're responsible for accepting the donations, sorting, tagging, creating designs on the floor, helping customers, learning, social skills and helping at the register. So they've been their long-time employees of the thrift store. They love their job.
And where is I Love Thrift Store? So tell me where that thrift store is located.
It's on Montclair, just a couple of blocks east of Ramona, 4669 Holt Boulevard.
Okay. In Montclair. Terrific. Okay. And I know you have a fundraiser coming up. It's the Brewability Beer Festival on Saturday, April 13th. Tell me about this and what's going on there.
Sure. So this will be our third year at the McCoy Equestrian Center in Chino Hills. And it is just a fun day. We have local breweries, about 15 local breweries and a couple wineries who come, and they let all the participants, whoever comes, the attendees, taste their wine. So the ticket, you get a small beer tasting glass with your ticket, and you just spend the day learning about different craft beers, learning about wine. Some of them are all natural wines. And then we have a DJ. We'll have a band. We have four food trucks all from the local area. And then we'll have about 15 to 20 craft vendors. And so including our own participants who will have booths selling their artwork, their crafts. They also run a raffle booth, so they're selling raffle tickets all day. And then they provide drinks to all the designated drivers to make sure, and anyone else actually, to everybody, providing water and lemonade so that everyone stays hydrated. And it's just a day of fun, you know, to be outside. The equestrian center is beautiful. And it's just such a fun day, and people get to see, you know, a lot of people have, you know, different connotations about what adults with disabilities looks like. And so it's a great opportunity for them to interact, see them, communicate with them, see them enjoying a beer and craft a beer fest and having a beer. And so it's just really a fun event. Everybody's out in their shorts. Kirk Hagman and his team are always there. And so lots of local businesses have sponsored. So it's just a great opportunity for the local community to come out and have a great day and raise some money for Enthesis and their programs.
So it's Brewability's Beer Festival on Saturday, April 13th. What's the time? And tell me again the location.
It's from 12 to 5, and it's at the McCoy Equestrian Center in Chino Hills.
Very good.
So it's right next to the Chino Hills Community Center.
Got it. So, Sean, why is this your passion? Why is this where you choose to work in this field?
Well, I think if you have ever spent time with an adult with disabilities and see the passion that they have for life and realize that even though they have a disability and they realize they have a disability, they are so thankful for the life they lead and so thankful that they have people like us here who spend time with them and are showing them the world and giving them opportunities that they've always wanted. They have the same dreams as you and I do. And I think there has been, you know, like I said, they used to be locked up in state institutions. And so the change in the culture around their capabilities and their ability to be inclusive and integrated into the community and that they can do almost anything that they, you know, want to and put their mind to. They may need a little bit more support like we give to them, but they're eager to go to work. They want to make a living. They want to be providing to the local economy and buying things that they want. They want to have their own apartment. They have the same dreams and wants we do, but they do it with a smile on their face every day. I mean, it's such a, if you're feeling down, come to work, spend a couple minutes talking to them, and whatever you're feeling down about goes away because they just have such a love for life, and it's just, you know, all-consuming when you work with them. It takes on a life of its own. And so to support them and find new ways to fulfill their dreams is really the passion of my team and I. We just really want to change how everyone looks at them and what opportunities they have in this world.
So it does sound like you're very progressive in trying to serve the participants. And like I said earlier, with new things, right? And so I'm going to ask this. I think you may have already answered it, but what do you see for the future? What are your plans for the future for Enthesis moving forward?
Well, big dream is that
we really
like
to, yay.
We'd really like to create our own small business in which we employ adults with disabilities to work in our own self-sustaining business. That is our big dream. We are starting to get involved with Thrive and Launch, looking at opportunities within the San Bernardino County Inland Empire, how we could create that. And that's going to take a lot of work. I've never created my own business. So we have a lot of work to do around that, but that is our big dream, is to create our own self-sustaining business.
Well, that's awesome. Sean, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for serving our population here in the Inland Empire with those with disabilities, or maybe another way said, with different abilities, right?
Yes, exactly. I love that.
For more information about Enthesis, visit us at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on today's show. April is National Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month. Each year, the Autism Society Inland Empire hosts an Autism Acceptance Walk to raise funds to serve individuals and families living with autism here in our inland region. KVCR's Sharina Watt has more information about the fundraiser, which takes place on April 20th in Paris.
The Autism Society Inland Empire is hosting the 2024 Autism Acceptance Walk Saturday, April 20th from 12 to 3 p.m. at the Southern California Railway Museum in Paris. The theme is Journey to Connection. The Autism Society describes autism as a unique journey, and from within its spectrum are connections of strength, resilience, and love. On that journey are the stories of many, and the more we learn about one another, the more we move towards diversity and acceptance. The Autism Acceptance Walk is the Autism Society's largest outreach, resource, and fundraising event. The goal is to raise essential funds to improve the lives of local children and adults with autism in Riverside and San Bernardino counties. The community is invited to register, donate, or volunteer at the walk. The Autism Society Inland Empire Acceptance Walk will feature access to SoCal Railway Museum exhibits, including train and trolley rides, a resource fair with family support information, a safety fair, which will offer engagement with public safety agencies, role-playing demonstrations, and will feature Big Shaker, the largest mobile earthquake simulator. Their fun zone will be filled with exciting activities for the whole family, including inflatable attractions, characters, arts and crafts, and more. There will be food trucks, autism acceptance merchandise, and the Autism Walk is also a marketplace for autism entrepreneurs. This opportunity allows for individuals with autism to showcase their small business or hobby. Again, the 2024 Autism Acceptance Walk is Saturday, April 20th from 12 to 3 p.m. at the Southern California Railway Museum at 2201 South A Street in Paris, California. For more information about the event and to register, visit us at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on today's show. For Lifestyles, I'm Sharina Wadd.
That's our show for this week. To hear any of our past shows, check out the archives at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles or listen to Lifestyles on the KVCR app. You can also listen to Lifestyles in your favorite streaming service. Search for Lifestyles with Lillian Vasquez and take the show on the go. Thanks to all who helped to make this show possible, including Sharina Wadd, David Fleming, Sean Houlihan, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Our theme music is provided by Ethan Bortnick. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now. Yeah, the simple things.